Good afternoon. My name is Megan Tulikangas, and I'll be sharing with you how the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living developed a curriculum to share the results of a census of the New Orleans retail environment with youth to raise awareness of the point-of-sale environment and issues within that environment, and to spur engagement and advocacy within the community. I don't have any relationships to disclose. To begin with just a little bit about our program, the Louisiana Public Health Institute is a private nonprofit here in New Orleans, which administers a number of public health programs throughout the city, state, and Gulf region. One of these programs is the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living, which is a statewide tobacco control program funded by the state excise tax on tobacco. In the past few years, TFL has moved towards looking at how tobacco is sold and advertised in retail stores or at the point of sale, advertised POS, which I will try to not use as an acronym because it's the most pleasant, with the goal of understanding what products are available, where they're available, and how they target certain segments of the population, namely minorities and youth. The four P's, very quickly, are a way to describe how products are marketed, and they represent four distinct but very interrelated concepts. First, the product itself is designed to appeal to a certain group of people and is something that they would want to consume. Next, the product is promoted in a way to get the attention of the desired customers and shows how people like you would use the product. They want to appeal to you. The products and the advertisements are placed in eye-catching, noticeable places, such as at eye level. And keep in mind that it can also be at kids' eye level, which is just a little bit closer to the ground than adults. And finally, the products are priced to be affordable and desirable to the target audience. These rules apply both inside and outside of stores and are kind of designed to trigger what else do I need while I'm here at the store kind of responses. And this is what our point of sale research in New Orleans measured. And our research team had some key questions that we wanted to address, namely, do minority and low socioeconomic status neighborhoods in New Orleans have more access to unhealthy products, more advertising for unhealthy products, less access to healthy products, and more advertising and product placement designed to appeal to youth? In summary, how does the retail environment support or hinder making healthy choices? So to answer these questions, we did a big research project, which I will just summarize. In the summer of 2013, TFL collected quantifiable observational survey data and photographs of 465 retail stores in New Orleans that had an active tobacco retail permit, an active alcohol beverage license, and or were identified by the Tulane Prevention and Research Center as a food selling store. This project utilized a very thorough store assessment protocol, employed 14 surveyors to complete 6 unique data collection modules, which included the number of advertisements in and outside of stores, the availability of healthy and unhealthy products, product pricing, and special promotions. So we had a very, very rich data set and wanted to disseminate the findings. The obvious choice is to come to conferences like this and tell everybody about it. But what we really wanted to think about is how can we get this information to the community much more quickly than through the trickle-down effect. To begin, we looked at our existing research or our resources. First, TFL has done some point-of-sale work before with a statewide youth grantee. That's supposed to say point-of-sale experience. I'm sorry, my font didn't quite work out. A statewide youth grantee program called DEFY, which for the past 3 years has engaged youth in observing tobacco at the point of sale and sharing and having the youth share their observations with local leaders to build support for tobacco retail policies. Some of these DEFY youth are in New Orleans, but LPHI also has some other programs that work with New Orleans schools, which kind of provided us with this rich school network. Finally, we met a young man who may look familiar to you if you are a Biggest Loser fan, who moved to New Orleans specifically to spread his wellness message to youth in a city in need. This is Jez. He was on season 4. Taken together, these three things pointed us strongly in the direction of sharing our point-of-sale results with New Orleans youth who might take the message to heart and make some healthier choices starting today. So we made a curriculum. Our curriculum adopted components of the integrative behavior model, a theoretical construct focusing on emotions and behavioral beliefs while building knowledge and skills. The program consists of a mix of lectures and interactive activities designed to increase participants' knowledge of the adverse health effects of unhealthy products, awareness of advertisements and marketing strategies used to influence purchases, and the necessary skills to protect themselves while in unhealthy retail environments. Our skilled youth educator, Jez, delivers the program, and he leads discussions with each activity to cement the lessons with the students. And we asked, while creating this curriculum, we thought to be local, actionable, meaningful, and engaging. What does it mean to me as a kid in New Orleans? And what can I do about it? As a tool to guide our development of the curriculum and to help students remember the lesson in the stores, we created a COST acronym. What are your choices? What's the best one? Select it and take action. The POS project created an overwhelming amount of data, as I've alluded to. We had about 600 data points per store. So we wanted to focus on some simple actions that would be easy to remember and would be empowering to youth. We piloted the program last spring with a class of middle school students. The curriculum was presented in two parts over 2 days, and we gathered some student and teacher feedback as well as observed the classes to kind of gauge engagement and their interest in the activities that we were presenting to them. In this fall, we've presented the curriculum to 6 high school classes, some in 2 sessions of 1 hour and some in 1 hour single sessions, as well as to 2 middle school classes that were just 1 session. Throughout the curriculum, Jez engages the students in a number of activities to practice looking at the retail environment and at their neighborhood's critical eye. I'll briefly describe each activity and the students' reactions and some modifications we made in the course of the program kind of on the fly to just try to be as responsive as we could to the feedback we were getting from the students. First, we had the students shop in a store, which was actually just a picture projected at the front of the room. But we had about 10 minutes to look at the photograph and look for the 4 P's that we'd been telling them about. In the early sessions, everyone went up to look, but towards the end, we kind of just had 1 or 2 shout out their answers. And this was a pretty engaging activity for the youth. They were eager to point them out and show what they could recognize, and they noticed the promotions and the placements of unhealthy products pretty quickly and effectively. Students that had 2 class sessions were also asked to go to a real store in between the 2 sessions, and many did, whether they did for this class or not, but they went, and they were very eager to share what they observed with what they learned. For example, I went to Mike's on St. Cloud. I saw beer, cigarettes, rum, and chicken. I went to buy chicken, but I got chicken and a Snickers. So there's some impulse purchases. Went to Walmart. My little brother got a hold of some Skittles. So there's some easy youth access to unhealthy products. And I noticed the fruits were at the back and the unhealthy snacks were at the front. So there's some product placement there. See, this was so great. These kids grabbed it. We also had an on-the-map activity to visually demonstrate disparities in the prevalence of tobacco, alcohol, and fresh fruit and vegetable advertisements from our store survey data across the city of New Orleans. So a lot of unhealthy advertisements in the red summary. For the groups that did 2 sessions that went to the store in between, this was particularly engaging. We asked the students which store they'd visited and had them look on the map to see what color their neighborhood was. When asked why they think they were different colors, there was a little confusion. Some of them thought it was just there were more people in those neighborhoods, so there was a little map understanding going on there. And we also asked them how that made them feel, which was a little hard when they weren't understanding the map, so we did a modification to the curriculum. We put in some pictures of a discount zone in 2 different neighborhoods to compare the external ads. So this is Lakeview, which has an ordinance against advertising of any sort outside of stores. And this is the Treme, which is a lower-income neighborhood. After this modification, the middle schoolers in particular could clearly see the difference. When asked why they thought they was why they thought it was different, they said the Treme discount zone is in the ghetto, and got a kick out of that, actually, demonstrating that they were aware of the differences between the neighborhoods, whether consciously or not. There was much more discussion of race and socioeconomic status because the students were the ones noticing the differences, and many more students after this exercise reported that they felt angry or surprised than they did without this visual aid. The Making Choices activities asked the students to apply the COST acronym to the situations in the photos. By this point, they were pretty clear on the four P's in the pictures, and the high schoolers didn't dig it so much. They kind of thought it was a little silly, but the middle schoolers really grabbed onto it, and they thought it would help them make better choices when they were shopping. During the second day, when there was a lot more discussion of choices, students were genuinely interested in learning more about being healthy and what is a healthy food. So this is something we kind of needed to add in. About 40% of the students wanted to learn more about how to make healthier choices and what counts as healthy. So we added in these images, and they responded well to information such as how much sugar is in your drink. And they were also interested to learn which products that they thought were healthy, like vitamin water or Powerade, actually weren't. Students also looked critically at some advertisements to think through what the product is and what lifestyle cues are being presented in the ads. What would Beyonce look like if she actually drank all that Pepsi? Students responded really positively to this activity and quickly recognized that the famous people don't necessarily use the products that they're selling. Here's LeBron, if you drink all that Sprite. Videos are another tool to keep the students engaged. Rewind the Future is an anti-obesity PSA, which follows an obese man having a heart attack backwards through time to see how he became obese. This got the students' attention at the beginning of the presentation. We also showed them this Tips from a Former Smoker ad, which is, and this is Terry, who died last year at 53. And these acted as a good contrast to those other celebrity ads that they were familiar with. Like Beyonce selling her Pepsi and P. Diddy selling Ciroc, which many of them recognized even though they were far too young to drink. Many students really hated the Terry ad, and they said they don't like it, they don't want to see it, but you know, several days later, they were still talking about it, so it really resonated. We also added a very powerful quote from an R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company executive about why he didn't personally smoke. We reserve that right for the young, the poor, the black, and the stupid. This quote was in the first day's PowerPoint, but the students memorized it almost word for word and from the previous week, and they were very angry about it and were anxious to talk about it. TFL also has access to an automated response system, which allows students to respond to questions in real time via small handheld devices. With this system, polls are used throughout the sessions, both to engage the students, gauge their interests, and to, you know, collect some data for a process evaluation of the project. Like, are they learning what we think they're learning? Some high school students didn't take it very seriously because you just don't take much seriously when you're about 15, but and therefore they put in a lot of intentionally wrong answers and also responded that this doesn't affect me. The middle schoolers were much more engaged in this process and took it more seriously, though there was a little bit of a problem of students just calling out the answer rather than pushing the button, but you know, details. As a modification, also in kind of response to the popularity of this, we added a question near the end about what do you want to learn more about, which allowed Jez to tailor the content at the end of the session to what was interesting to the kids, and that went over pretty well. And then finally, we did their T in the COST acronym. We gave the students a few relatively simple actions to take with their newfound knowledge, and we asked them to speak up when they saw something that they didn't like or they had questions about. And they can talk to our owners, to your parents, to your friends, to the employees, whatever they were comfortable with, but just start talking about it. Our lessons learned with this project, we had to be adaptable We were always learning and always improving. The younger students, the middle school students, were much more responsive to the curriculum because they kind of had less preset notions and behaviors, frankly, already. The large classes were unwieldy, but the smaller classes went much better because the discussion was much more interactive. Technology is always fun. The teachers also got a kick out of the clickers. Hey, whatever works, right? The students really, this was kind of surprising, the students showed remarkable awareness of the brands and the celebrities selling them, and they responded most strongly to the ads they had seen before, like Beyonce or P. Diddy. And finally, constantly connecting the discussion and the activities to how they were affected seemed to engage the middle schoolers more than the high schoolers, though they were also engaged. This is probably just due to age difference, and well, kind of high schoolers thought they were a little invincible and not controlled by others. But it was a good discussion to have. Our conclusion was that the earlier you start, the more it resonated, and hopefully, in the long run, the more it will stick with them. The middle schoolers seemed to get a lot more out of the map activity, and the discussion was much more interactive as they were able to guide it and connect to their own neighborhoods and what they saw every day. For the future, here's Jez, we hope to continue presenting this curriculum at several more schools in the greater New Orleans area. The schools we've presented at so far have all expressed interest in having us return next year or with a different grade level or to teach a new curriculum in the future. We're also searching for ways to get youth more involved in advocacy efforts. Kind of our first step. Our health educator has expressed interest in starting an after-school or extracurricular club and teaching students tools they need to create social media to spread the message.